Recorded Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And good morning, Rochester and the web. You are listening to this edition of Soundbite on May the 12th, Mother's Day weekend. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And we're going to be doing the usual format today's news, views, and everything else. Steve, I don't know if you grabbed any of the news.
I'm still trying to get the camera up and running, so we'll let Dennis do one.
I could do one.
Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
So the first story here is about NBC. And they will stream the London Olympics live, but only to TV subscribers. For decades, Olympics fans have loathed two words, tape and delay. But this summer, things will be different. For the first time, NBC will stream live video of the London Games online and via mobile. If you think that decision is overdue, you're not alone. Sports Business Daily media reporter John Orand says he's shocked that it's taken this long for the network to put live video of all Olympic events online. I'm surprised it didn't happen 4 years ago, or even 8 years ago, Orand tells Morning Edition co-host Steve Inskeep. People are watching video online, he says, and people are rejecting tape-delayed broadcast, which is what NBC had done in previous years. For the London 2012 Games, NBC plans to stream video of all 302 Olympic events, allowing online viewers to choose what they want to watch. Fans will have options for watching broad highlights or following one discipline's events. The network will release apps to allow live video and other features on tablets and smartphones. It's a far cry from the years that the network spent cloistering the most popular events into primetime package that aired hours later. But that doesn't mean that NBC will be given open access to just anyone who wants to watch the Olympics online. To get full access, you must be a cable or satellite subscriber. Aha. And you'll need a user ID and password from your TV provider to log in, according to a guide posted last week on NBC's video site. That could be bad news for anyone who's gone off the grid by rejecting cable and satellite subscriber plans, who may be forced to find other options to watch favorite events live. And the network still plans to save most of its interviews and features for prime time. Orand says that for NBC, the lure of advertising revenue is only one reason to try to control access to its online Olympic content. He points to the network's widely available cable channels, USA, CNBC, and NBC. One of the reasons they're widely distributed is because they carry that Olympic programming, he says, and cable operators didn't want to do without that programming. So our question for you, will you be watching the Olympics online this year? Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or our toll-free number at 1-800-790-0465.
One nice thing about the Olympics this year is that the time zone difference isn't too bad for the U.S.
Right.
In China and Australia, the time zones are so bad. But now the problem is it's going to happen during the day, which is in the evening, so it may get too late for some of the later stuff.
Right.
And when it gets really late in London, it's early in London is in the middle of our work day. So how many people are going to be streaming it at work?
Yeah, the other thing that we've been talking about, and, we've done this in past Olympics, which really porks me off, too, as Nick would say, is they only show the primary events. There's so many other events. Instead of doing these human interest stories and, the whole history of this athlete or that athlete, why not show some of the other sports?
Sure.
It's the popular sports that get the ad revenue. And so you're not going to see, the curling, interviews.
Well, during the summer games anyway.
Well, that too, yeah.
I mean, summer, winter, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. It's just, there are so many sports. Those athletes deserve just as much of prime time as, say the gymnast or the swimmers and all this other stuff. Or during the winter, meets and everything else. They only pick, like you say, the very popular ones. But I'm sorry. Those other athletes deserve, if they're bringing home a medal, they might go, well, U.S. won so many gold medals, and they'll just go down the list, and it's like, oh, they won it in that, too? Archery or whatever.
Sure, baseball or canoeing or kayak.
They don't show any of that stuff, and that's really sad on our part. Because I bet you in other countries, if you were to go to see it, they're proud of every one of their athletes, and they're probably covering it 16 ways from Sunday.
Well, yeah, we have the embarrassment of having way too many very, very talented and popular athletes, I guess.
Well, yeah, we can have them, but again, you don't have to overblow, you know, their ego and, you know, pump that up. Show some of the other sports.
Right. So for people who have high-speed internet at their house and want to watch these streaming things, but they don't subscribe to cable channels, they're kind of caught in a lurch where they cannot get the streaming that they're going to want to get.
Which is interesting because NBC is a commercial broadcast station.
Right, and they come out over the air. Yeah. It's like, why do I have to be paying a cable company in order to get streaming Olympics? Olympics, by their very nature, are designed to be open and a free competition between consenting athletes that all want to strive to do the best they can and to demonstrate that for people. And, it seems like that this is probably one of the last ways that they can try and measure. Maybe it's a measurement thing. They want to see who's watching what online. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be, again, another marketing tool that they can sit there and say, well, we had this many thousands or millions of viewers. And this is another way to pump that service up even later.
Right.
See, it's the dichotomy we're running into is that so many people are trying to cut their cable cord and watch stuff on the internet, and the video companies, the TV channels and producers are seeing lost revenue from cable without seeing additional revenue from internet.
Yeah, it sounds like they're just not charging enough for their internet ads to me, from a business perspective.
Well, that's the right answer. They're not charging for internet ads. Yeah. The wrong answer, and what we'll probably see, is they're going to start charging more for internet access and instituting more data caps.
Sure. Yeah. True. Well, they've got to try and make money at both ends, I guess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't be happy with one. Well, as we've said that for years. A movie comes out, they want you to rent it on pay-per-view.
Right.
And then, 30 days later, it comes out on disc, and they want you to buy the disc. And then they want you to watch it on commercial TV with all the commercials in the middle of it. And then they want you to buy the special edition that comes out later. And so you buy the same thing a dozen times.
Well, that's the thing. I've got cable right now. And in fact, I think I've got about maybe another 5 months on, my plan. Because
You got pulled into a contract?
No, an agreement that I got it. They kept it at a certain price.
Because call it price protection. Yeah,
yeah, they
it'd be a shame if something happened to your low, low cable bill, wouldn't it? You better pay us.
Yeah, they raised it, and it was a year ago, coming up on a year ago,
Raising it again.
Yeah, recently, and they said, no, I'm not, sorry, take me back to basic.
Right.
Just the basic channels. I can live with that. And that's what I'm getting to right now, because I find that I can still go to the web, go to that particular station, say ABC or NBC, and watch older episodes of a particular program. There's not that much TV that I watch.
Right.
And the ones that are, I want to watch are up there on the broadcast, for that particular station. Say, like, Hawaii 5-0. I still like it.
Okay.
You can go back and watch old episodes. And I can watch it right there on my computer, because they've got the dual screen, so I can have one over there watching it and still be working.
Right.
And
hey, Steve, before we get too far, can people get to the stream this week? Are we broadcasting
the audio?
Video?
The video, audio stream and video stream is both running.
Great.
And you can also reach us by phone. You can call us with a question or comment. You can call us at our toll-free number, 1-800-970-0415, or call the studio number in the 585 area code, 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299.
And one more way they can do it, if you're out in the vehicle and want to have a particular question, you're sitting there listening to us on your, mobile device.
Yep.
You can also text me at 585-209-9010. It comes right up here on the screen, and we can ask your question there. But please, give us a call. What's your opinion on these Olympics? We'd like to hear from you. This is all speculation that we spew out.
Yep. Yeah, it's always interesting when the next time some big event comes out. The last one was the Super Bowl.
Right.
And NBC decided to stream it live on the internet. I'd like to see some of the statistics. I haven't found any place yet that has all the statistics about how many people watched it online versus watching it from an actual television. And that was another one that was broadcast live for free. Just had to watch the commercials.
Well, yeah, they were making significant revenue on those commercials.
Yep. So it's interesting to see what happens. The fight between the cord cutters who don't want to pay twice for the same thing and the cable companies and TV companies who want us to pay multiple times for the same thing.
All right, let's go to the phones. We got Judy from Hilton. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi there. For some reason, I can't read my hat mail now. I can get into it, and you go to the inbox, and, you know, you got a number of messages, so you click on the one you want to read. And the first time I did it, everything came up, and it was fine. The next time I did it, it came up, like, for 10 seconds, and then it went back. And I couldn't get it to stay there so I could read it.
So the window closes again immediately?
Yeah.
Sounds like she's been...
Uh-oh.
It could be a problem. What
PC or Mac?
I beg your pardon?
What operating system are you running?
XP.
And what browser are you using?
IE8.
Okay. You may want to try a different browser, see if the same thing happens. Firefox or Chrome are easy downloads.
Uh-huh.
You may also want to check your internet options and clear your cache and possibly your cookies.
Dance the tango.
But, yeah, you may want to do a full dance of the tango to make sure everything is working right.
Yeah, you've probably been taken over. In other words, you've got to redirect. You've got to redirect it. It's, you know, even though you're trying to go to Hotmail, it wants to go somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also trying to see what Hotmail is written in. If it's written in Flash or Java, you may need to update one of your internet plugins.
Right.
Although it's Microsoft, so it's probably written in Silverlight.
And I do have that, too, by the way.
Yeah, you may need to check for updates. There's a really neat website that Mozilla puts out. We've got it on our link list. It's mozilla.com/plugin check.
Okay.
And it checks your browser. It works with IE and Safari, Google, and all of them.
Uh-huh.
And it checks your browser for any out-of-date plugins.
Okay.
Like the Flash plugin, the Silverlight plugin, the Java plugins, things like that. Plugins are things that add features to your standard browser.
Gotcha.
And sometimes those out-of-date plugins can cause problems. Usually they're out-of-date because a problem was found and the update fixes it.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of the browsers, and now big news this week, Apple Safari, the latest version, will also disable old versions of Flash. So Firefox and Chrome will both disable old versions of Flash that contain potential security holes. And Chrome even auto-updates Flash itself, so you don't have to worry about it. And I think Firefox is set in version 12, they're going to auto-update. And... So there's the fight between Apple and Adobe. We kind of figure that Safari won't start auto-updating Flash because Apple doesn't like Flash. Well, Flash in general is a resource hog, and it can drain your battery if you're on a portable device, and it runs your processor really hard. So that's one of the reasons, the main reason that Apple hasn't done Flash for the iPad, because it wouldn't be a very nice experience. So that's a couple of things you might want to check. Quickest thing to check would be a different browser to see if the same thing happens.
Okay, how do I do that? Do I just say I want Firefox?
Just download it and install it.
Yeah, go to getfirefox.com or chrome.google.com,
and you
can download the other browsers.
Another thing you might try is creating a different Windows user account and then logging in with that account, try to get back to your Hotmail, and see if you get the same behavior. That can tell you if it's something in your user account or if it's something deeper in the computer itself.
Mm-hmm. So it's Mozilla what?
Mozilla.com/plugin check. All one word.
Plugin check.
Yep.
Okay, and if they find something...
They'll give you links to download updated plugins.
Oh, wonderful.
In fact, I just see on my computer I have a Silverlight update necessary.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, that will probably help you out.
Okay, great. Well, thanks so much.
No, thank you.
Bye.
So it's always a good idea to keep your plugins up to date, because it's especially Flash, because that's where all the holes are found and remote code executions and exploits. What we kind of guess is that every time Adobe patches an update or patches Flash, there's a new exploit that comes out within a couple of days. We kind of think the bad guys have this whole list of holes that they found in Flash,
right,
and are just waiting for Adobe to release an update. So then they have another one already ready to exploit.
Yeah, they just see what's still left and then do one of those.
I was going to get into this, but we're coming up on a break. What I want to maybe, and we got a caller that's holding, but you know, maybe after we come back out of the break,
we'll have to tease it here.
Yeah, we're going to do a little talking about, and I hate to admit this, but standing here between two Mac guys, good old Windows 8.
Yeah. Okay. What do you think?
I'd say, you know, stay tuned because you know what? That saves my butt. That means I got to slowly walk out of here and let you folks get to listen to these great folks that support our station. But we will come back, and you might want to hear our comments, on, or at least mine, on Windows 8 right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And you are listening to Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And let's not waste a moment and go to Jim on the phone. Go ahead, Jim.
I'm running a Windows XP machine, Outlook Express, and I have Carbonite for backup. It dawned on me that I don't think I'm backing up my email, which is Outlook Express, my email addresses or the email mails. How do I go about backing those up if my hard drive bites the dust?
Well, if you've told Carbonite to back up everything in your computer, then it is being backed
up.
Well, everything in my computer, you tend to go through and click off files.
Okay, well, files you definitely want anything under the... what version of Windows are you using?
XP.
Then under the current users.
Yeah, your user folder in Documents and Settings, you want to back up your entire user folder. So all of your documents, your pictures, your
emails,
everything is in that user folder.
Okay.
Yeah, if you get that, you got it.
Very good. Thank you very much.
No, that was an easy one.
Yep. Yeah.
Outlook stores its database in an invisible folder, so you have a hard time finding it yourself. But
beautiful.
If you just back up that entire... Well, so does Apple now. It's in your hidden library.
Yeah. I guess technically it's hidden.
Yeah. Your user library is hidden, but the root library is not.
Right.
And the root library is more dangerous to get into.
I don't know why.
But you could always go inside of Outlook Express. You could go to the address book, and then I suspect there are some
features. Yeah. It has its own archive and backup commands inside.
So it would be pretty painless to go grab a USB stick from your favorite local retailer and write that file out and put it on the USB stick so you have a nice copy of that just in case something happens to the machine.
Right. Cover your butt. That's and now with the Google Drive, Google Drive. You know, there's 5 gig of free storage that you can throw at any up there you
What's
want.
What's interesting is there's like a dozen of those that have popped up recently.
Right.
The Google Drive, Microsoft SkyDrive,
Dropbox.
Yeah, but Dropbox. So I question the security, and they don't give as much. I think what there's this
They do 2 gigs for free, but you can get a free upgrade to up to 16 gigabytes by referring your friends. Microsoft used to give 25 gigabytes if you had a Microsoft account from days gone by, but now they only do 7 gigabytes.
Right. And the Google stuff, are they encrypting that at their end? Or is that the same as...
Yep.
Okay, so it's different than Dropbox.
Well, Dropbox encrypts it along the way.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, though, is if you get into the Google Plus and using Google Docs, you can store all documents up there,
right.
And the Google Docs don't count against your storage.
Hmm.
I mean, that's a sweet end. All right, tell you what, let's go back to the phones. We got Linda from Greece. Go ahead, Linda.
Okay, I've got my iPad. Every once in a while, if I'm going to a website, I will get a notice that says, this certificate is invalid. You may be trying to get Facebook. I don't have Facebook. It says retry. And every once in a while, that'll pop up. Why?
Because you have a certificate that's invalid. so it's one of those error messages that's correct. What happens is so many websites use the Facebook Connect plugin so that you can like something on Facebook. And you may see that little like. And there's also the plus one from Google. That every website you go to, even if you're not going to Facebook, that website is going to Facebook. And so what's happening is you're apparently are behind an update or two in your iPad to update your security certificates. The current version of the iPad software is 5.1.1.
I've got that.
Okay.
Okay. And you're using the Safari browser?
Yes.
Is it any specific web pages that are throwing this error?
Yesterday, my girlfriend and I were looking at, I wanted to see Burger King's menu, then I wanted to see Wendy's menu. Burger King, I had no problem. Wendy's, I kept getting that thing from Facebook. It was, and I thought to myself, well, that's weird. So I waited about 5-10 minutes. I went in, then I could go into it. But for some reason, this pops up maybe once or twice a month.
I see. Well, I've got my iPad 3 here, and I'm firing it up here. I'm headed over to Wendy's.com.
It could just be that the certificate...
They do have the Facebook like button up at the top there.
I'm blocking it on my page.
Right.
It could just be that that website's certificate did happen to expire. As a web server, a company will buy a security certificate, and it's usually valid for 1 year, 2 years, something like that, and it will expire. And usually they catch it within a day or so, and then you don't see that same error again on that same website.
Probably why. Okay. Yeah. I've got one more question, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I've got an XP desktop. Now, I can't afford to do it this year, but from what Dave was saying, that as soon as Windows 8 comes out, I will not be able to get a Windows 7 desktop. Is that true?
No, I never said that.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood that.
There'll be a few month overlap. When Windows 8 comes out, they'll stop making Windows 7, just like they're going to stop making XP now that 7 is out. But it may be from a few months to a few years. I would guess it's going to be a shorter time than X, because there's a huge uproar about canceling XP. They've extended XP's life 3 or 4 times.
Okay. Tell you what, when we're done with your question, then I'll go on with what you're sort of leading us into without even suggesting it.
Okay.
It's a fantastic segue.
Yes.
So I've got some time that I don't have to do it this year?
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I need to
Most
know.
Likely.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, Linda.
Yep. Bye.
And a lot of vendors will often still sell computers with the older OS, because sometimes the new computers, the new OS needs a higher-end computer that doesn't fit on the older ones.
Okay.
Here we go.
What I'm going to say is, hear me now, remember me later. My prediction for Windows 8, and any of my, the longtime listeners that know me well enough, and how much I love that one particular operating system called Windows, know that this version of Windows 8 is going to be right up there with it.
Every other version is crap.
Folks, they are trying to sling more mud and cover the stink on this so many different ways. Even if you're upstream from the smell, it's still coming at you, because if you're shaking a stinky stick, it's going to smell any way you point it.
What makes you say that, Dave?
It is going to be such a big shift. I mean, this is going to be like any other shift that the average simple Windows user is going to get blown away by it. And what am I talking about? Well, guess what, folks? Since Windows 3.1, I'll even go back to Windows 286, there's always been a start bar. You've always been able to click on little tabs and arrange stuff on your desktop net. And things pop up, and you can go over and select programs and everything else. It's very simple. And that part, right on up to Windows 7 right now, that's the way it's been. Well, if you're not familiar with a tablet use, or have never used a tablet, and maybe you're still the type that isn't even into a smartphone, all you're using your phone for is texting and calling. And not a lot of folks get out there and you want to do the rest. Well, Windows 8 is going to be a major, and I mean major, paradigm shift, because your desktop now is going to look like a tablet. There is no more start button down along the top, and you won't see different programs running, along there. it's going to take one heck of a lot of getting used to, unlike any other version of Windows. I mean, when we went from Windows XP to Windows 7, yes, there were, you know, it was, again, seamless. It was a great operating system. Of course, they had Vista in between that. And this is where I think Windows 8 is going to be another big stink bomb that Windows or Microsoft is going to have to turn around. They're trying to tell you 16 ways from Sunday, oh, why you'll need this. And they're trying to pump up all the other folks saying, oh, yeah, it's going to be able to do this and that and this and that. Hello, they're not addressing Joe average user. And, I mean, you get some of the elderly folks in that, that they communicate with their families and this type of stuff, to all of a sudden tell them they got to learn this now?
We're seeing some of that in the iPad world, too, that with Mac OS X Lion, they've added some iPad features. And with Mountain Lion, it's going to sort of merge it a little even more.
Right, for better or for worse.
For better or for worse. For brand new users, that tablet interface seems to work really well. And 100 million iPads later, it markets very well. But for us longtime users where everything is different, it's horrible and we can't figure out where things moved to.
All I can say is, and like I said, remember me now, or hear me now, remember me later, Windows 9.
Yeah. Wait for the next one. Yeah. Right. It seems
wait
like Microsoft needs a bad version in the middle to kick them in the butts to get a good version
so
out.
So you're talking about that the interface that they call the Metro user interface, right?
Yeah.
Where it's a bunch of tiles on the screen.
Yeah.
Works great on the screen, works great on tablets, works great on phones, on laptops, and desktops, not so great.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to bail out of that, of course, by pressing Windows M, and that's going to take you back to a more traditional desktop, if you want. But by default, when people, you know, get their new machines at the beginning of the school year or get their new machines at the holiday time,
well, like I
then
see,
there's going to be a lot of phone calls for that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm going to be all wrong, but I just think it's going to be the biggest pile of stink going. You know, granted, the backwards compatibility, it's going to be, you know, still there, but trying to shove something this radical, I think it should be the other way. It should default to the old Windows look.
Right.
And if you want that feature, turn it the other way.
Right. Yeah.
Not the way they're going to have it. Because if they do it the way they're going to do it right now, is just to have the tablet look, because a lot of folks aren't going to be able to know how to switch it back. They're going to be totally baffled.
Right. That's the way the Mac is right now. We have it sort of with the same UI that we've had for the last 10 years. But there are these new features that are kind of creeping in, and it sort of feels like Apple's kind of testing the waters. And from what Steve says, it sounds like some new folks really enjoy that, but longtime Mac users, it feels constraining.
Well, you know, there was a big uproar with just Windows going from Windows XP to Windows 7 because they went into the control panel, and forever it's always been add, remove programs. Well, some brainchild had to turn around, change it to, let's see, programs and features. Well, what the heck was wrong with add, remove? That made sense. Programs and features? Now, give me a break, Eastie. You know, I mean, if you're that desperate to sit there and say, oh, we changed things around and make it a lot easier. No, you didn't. Some brainchild probably from the party the night before, you know, had a hangover and wrote this code. Said, oh, let's change it to this.
Well, yeah, what it does is it breaks this mental model that you've had for so long that it seems to be changed for no decent reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's some of the stuff is still just...
Or if there is a decent reason, they haven't done a good enough job of explaining what that is.
And they can't sell it. You know, I mean, like I say, if it's a stinky stick and they're pointing it at you, it still stinks any direction they put it.
So what are you telling people to do, Dave? What's your recommendation?
Hold on to Windows 7 and see what happens.
Okay.
Like
so
I say,
you're taking a wait-and-see approach.
Definitely, because unless they turn around and change Windows 8 to go to the other way, not go the tablet mode.
By default, anyway.
Yes, by default, when they install. That would get folks easier, because now they got their Windows, their original Windows look and feel. Now, if they want to experiment and get comfortable with it at their leisure, they can.
Right.
Well, that's the problem, and we've seen
from
that
Microsoft's point of view. Yeah,
that's the and from a lot of other vendors we've seen over the years.
The defaults.
If whatever the default settings are is what everyone always uses. If you add a new feature that's off by default, no one will ever bother turning it on, except us geeks that want to see new features. So and that's what Apple had done with a few features in Lion. They're on by default, and if you don't like them, you can turn them off and go back to the old way.
Yeah, but look at how well Vista and ME lasted.
Yeah.
And that was, just some of the changes, incompatibility and all that other stuff. And that was still still the same look. It just, things didn't work right with Windows ME and Vista. Now they're doing the compatibility. I think they've learned their lesson there that it's got to be backwards compatible because Windows has always been that way. But to sit there and throw in a whole different look by default, don't think that's going to fly, right up there with pigs flying.
Well, it's the same thing happened when we went from Windows 3 to Windows 95, radically different look.
Tell you what, if any of you folks have, seen Windows 8, it's out there to play around with, please give us a call. I'd love to hear from you folks. Our studio number is 966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415, or you can text us at 585-209-9010. We'd love to know your opinion. Am I just blowing smoke? Love to hear your opinion.
Dave, you're just change resistant, man. You just got to get with the times.
No, hey... Hey, wait a minute.
I'm getting texts here that say that this is the same argument that they heard for Windows 7 Classic Menu versus the current style.
No, I loved Windows 7 right from the get-go.
It wasn't as radically different as this is going to be.
Yes, this is totally radically different. And, talk about change. I was the one finally wound up moving over to the smartphone, and I'm loving it. Matter of fact, I got a tablet, an Android tablet, and I love that thing. Because Dropbox, but the Google Drive, I am so loving that. But you know what?
You're not afraid Google's going to search through all your stuff and sell you out?
Google is searching through all your stuff and adding ads to the bottom of your emails.
And with that, tell you what. You want to hear more great disputes than that? Please give us a call. Right after these words of wisdom, we'll continue on with this great debate because I'm still not beating this dead horse to death because I'm going to win out on this one. Here, right at member supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And you are listening to Soundbites. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And to continue on, I won't beat it too much more, but... It's just, I think they're just,
But what about
doing self-destruct?
I was checking out some sites about Windows 8 while we were at break, and they were saying that some of the things about the new Metro UI, where it's got those little squares on the screen, where they give you information, can be kind of useful. So you can see what's coming up for your calendar, what the weather's going to be, if you got any new tweets or new emails. It gives you kind of this notification. And, some people complain that the screen sort of looks like a Brady Bunch screen where it's all broken up, but getting notification of those kinds of things might be kind of useful, especially if you treat it sort of like a screensaver and you happen to wander by the computer and see things. You don't really have to sit down and focus in. It's all kind of presented to you. And I think a lot of people will find that to be fairly useful.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I say, this is going
to... But it's different.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, let's face it, a lot of folks out there now are retirement age. And they love getting a hold of seeing their grandkids and the Skyping and, sharing the photos and everything else. And the computer is easy for them to use because they've learned that part. I mean, I go to a lot of clients, and they just like it very simple, very basic. They don't have a lot of the big needs. If they can get on the internet and Google things and check things out and do that, they're happy. But all of a sudden, you throw a whole different operating system to them that's a whole different look and feel. I think they're making a wrong decision. All right, tell you what, let's go back to James. Just called us from Sodus Point. Go ahead, James. Hello?
Hello. Steve, I got a question for you about the new Apple iOS.
Yeah?
I have the iPhone, as you know. It's not the latest version that they first called for. It's the one prior to that. but I noticed that it, when it was announced, the new iOS 5.1.1.1 was for iPhone, iPad, and iPad Touch. I don't know what operating system I have on my iPhone, but does that work on my iPhone, the new one? And what advantage would I have?
If it's necessary for your phone will tell you that, that the update is available. To see what OS you're running on any of the iOS devices, you can go into the Settings app, and then under General, under About, and that will tell you what version you're running. While prior to version 5.0, you needed to manually install the updates from your computer. And then iTunes would tell you there's an update as soon as you plugged the device into your computer. One of the big features in 5.0 was being able to do over-the-air updates right on the device itself without going through your computer. The iOS update for 5.1.1 is designed for the iPhone 4S, the 4, the 3GS, iPad 2, iPad 1, iPod Touch, 4th generation, and 3rd generation. So pretty much all the devices in the last 3 or 4 years.
I believe mine is the 3GS. What advantages will that give me? I don't know what I have in there. I'll go into Settings and General and
yeah. The biggest advantage in the 5.1.1 is that they address some bugs. They fixed a Java iframe security issue where someone could craft a malicious website that made it look like you were someplace you weren't. And they've also added the HDR or improved the HDR option for taking photos for high dynamic resolution. The 3GS is the oldest phone officially supported, but we've heard a lot of people that haven't gone to iOS 5 because the 3GS has a slower processor and
yeah, the 3G specifically was had a big problem with that.
Yeah, and it's not officially compatible with the 3G alone. But if you're running iOS 5 and it's running fast enough for you, then you should definitely install the 5.1.1 update. Apple has several tech notes on their website about all the features that they've added into each of the updates as well.
Okay, I don't have internet capability on my computer right now. I do have it through my iPhone, but that's not the most practical thing to
sure.
Yeah,
visit a local establishment that might share their Wi-Fi with you. That would be a great way to get the update.
Coffee shop, bookstore, library, where you can get free Wi-Fi, and then you can download that update.
I'll check out what I have, and I may take a run down to Victor this week.
Sure.
Okay. So
we've also got a store in Webster, which is a little closer to Sodus Point than Victor is.
Well, yeah, I knew that they were opening that. Jackie told me.
Yep.
But I haven't been there yet. I'll have to try to find that. Where in Webster is that located? What's the address?
It's in the Webster Woods Plaza at Ridge Road and 5 Mile Line Road. It's next to TC Hooligans. How many shameless plugs can we get in? But we're not asking you to come, but you can come by if you want to.
Right. Your own free choice.
I'll see you soon.
Sounds good.
Thanks much.
All right, Steve, pop quiz.
Thanks, Dave.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Pop quiz, Steve. You're on the page with the iOS 5.1.1 software update. You're looking at the system requirements. Tell me which of the systems that is currently available from Apple is not in the list.
Well, the iPhone 3G and the iPad 3 is not listed yet.
There you go,
the newest one.
So do they call that just iPad now, or are they still calling it the new iPad?
Well, yeah, that's the new iPad,
right?
And the boxes are just marked iPad, and even in the code a serial number list on the box. On the iPad 2 boxes, all the boxes were just labeled iPad, but at least on that serial number list, it said iPad 2.
Right.
But now on the new iPad that we're all calling iPad 3, it just says iPad.
Aha. Uh-huh. So this list from Apple, one called iPad.
Yeah, the one that says iPad.
So that's kind of difficult to determine if the original iPad pardon me, or the third generation iPad is what they're referring to.
Yeah, they should say iPad parentheses. Third generation. Yeah, that's what they've done.
For the iPod Touch, there right. below it, they specify. Yeah.
And for the computers, the iMac brand has been out since 1998.
Right.
And so, but that iMac
years.
From 14 years ago is radically different from the iMac today. So Apple has always had a parenthetical description with more detail, especially in the service area, to see, to differentiate what all those different models are.
Hmm. Okay, tell you what, let's go back to the phones. We got Dennis from Rochester. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hi, guys. I have a question about my desktop computer. It's an economy version with Windows 7 64-bit. I just put 4 gig of memory in it, and that's the maximum you can put in. But I'm still, when I go to like YouTube to watch a video or watch even the videos from TV news, if I do any other function on the computer, it interrupts the video. Would that be because my video is integrated on the motherboard with if I got a separate video card, put it into like PCI Express, would that help me out or not?
Definitely yeah. wouldn't hurt.
Yeah, most likely it's the integrated video, which is cheaper, which is what you always find in the economy PCs,
yeah.
that it doesn't handle video so much. Sometimes if you make the window smaller, it plays a little better.
Do you have the capabilities of adding another? Well, the best way to find out is the video right along the bottom of the motherboard, or does it go into one of those slots? You know, on the side of a computer, if you look at the back of it, it has these vertical slots if mm-hmm. you're laying it down. Is the video in one of those slots, or does it hook up along the edge where you see the mouse hookup and the USB and the networking connections?
I'm not sure about that, but I am from the specs when I got this thing, it shows a PCI Express low profile slot available.
You do have a slot available. Yeah, one of the ways to tell is if you have an integrated video or dedicated video is where the connector is on the motherboard.
Well, I know from the specs also that it's an integrated video for sure. That's
100%. Then, you'd want to, if you want to really still use this machine, look at it, perhaps a low-profile video card, say, because, I mean, you can get a 1 gigger now, and that would improve your performance because it's got dedicated memory. Yeah. It's not taking it out of that 4 gig.
Ooh, then that's a point, too. How much RAM did you used to have?
1 gig.
So your video card is probably only set for 64 megs.
Okay, that's
so
possible.
One thing you can try doing is setting the video card to use more of your 4 gigs. That may help, but you would be much better off with a dedicated video card.
Can I get a video card, a PCI Express video card, for like maybe $50, or am I asking too much?
Search on the web.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question about Flash, since mm-hmm. you were talking about that earlier?
Yeah.
Is there an alternative to Flash? I think you guys mentioned that before. That wouldn't weigh down your computer resources so much?
Generally speaking, the web is shifting to HTML5 mm-hmm. And H.264 for video. And Flash was a good technology 10-15 years ago when it came out, but it's showing its age, basically.
Way old.
Even on Android tablets where you can run Flash, it doesn't work very well. And Adobe has discontinued mobile Flash, so they're not making Flash for mobile devices anymore. And we're sort of expecting them to, to deprecate desktop Flash as well. But they've got millions of Flash programmers who have mm-hmm. learned their business for years. And so if you are a Flash developer, you should probably start learning something new.
Yeah, get a new career.
So I'm not going to go out. I shouldn't uninstall Adobe Flash and look for some other kind of program in place of that then? I should just leave it as it is, let it update?
Pretty much, yeah. Make sure you keep it up to date because of all the exploits in Flash. If you don't have Flash installed, some sites will automatically switch to H.264. YouTube is one of the big ones that does. But sometimes you'll see the you must install Flash to run this video.
Okay.
What is it? VLC is one that
VLC is a standalone video player. If you're watching video from the internet, you can often use VLC instead of your web browser.
The one thing I like about VLC is while that video is playing and you want to keep it, you can click on it because it installs puts a tool button on your browser. But you can click on it and you can save that particular video that you're watching to your desktop.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's and then, you know, view it later on, because there's a number of artists that I go to for playing the bass, and I like their so I can slow it down and then go back. This way I've got the VLC file, and I can stop and pause it and move it back and forth as they're explaining things.
Yeah.
So I found that very helpful. And you can use it for a lot of different things.
That sounds great, guys. Thanks a lot for your idea.
You're quite
no problem.
You're
thanks
quite
for
welcome.
Calling.
Thank you for calling.
Sure.
What was his name again?
That was Dennis from this Rochester.
I don't know how I'm going to remember that.
I'm keeping up on our call log for Nick.
Good.
It's interesting. We all have our parts to play. Dave runs the board. Nick handles the call log, and I handle the website entries.
Yep. And I just sit here and look handsome.
And yeah, yep.
Face for radio, like I always say.
So the thing I was thinking about related to at least YouTube, one of the things that I've done in the past, especially if my internet is not working as quickly as I'd like, is I'll drop the resolution. Oftentimes it'll want to give me the high def resolution of the YouTube video, so I'll tell it to dump it back to, you know, 240p or what have you.
Right. They always try to recommend higher. And it's like, not always needed.
Not always needed.
You don't always have a giant screen. You don't always have super fast internet. That could be another issue Dennis is running into. If he's got a lower speed internet service, that could also be an issue for watching video.
And what else is running in his taskbar? I mean, you know, all these programs just love to load themselves up. And if you go into MS Config and click in the start bar, I mean, you can take out, say, like the Google Updater. And, you know.
Well, that's one you probably want to keep in because, well, if you got Google Chrome, because you want Chrome to keep itself up to date and you want Chrome's Flash to keep up to date.
I'll remember when I want that to update. Sorry. It's just extra things running that don't need to be running. You know, just post yourself a note or set it on a schedule. Once in a while, go check, as opposed to having something constantly running. I would rather set up, you know, a reminder. Say, once every couple of weeks, go, you know, check for this or check for that, than to sit there and have it constantly running. Is there an update? Is there an update? Is there an update? You know, and that's what it's doing, and it's eating up resources. So I take a lot of the stuff out there.
Is it doing it constantly for the Chrome stuff?
Well, it depends. You know what it's set up for, but it's
on
doing
the Mac, it does it once a day.
Well, that's still once a day too much.
Okay.
For me, I mean, if I really wanted
to. Everybody's got their threshold.
To catch all the Flash bugs, it needs to be updated. To catch, you know, it's like your antivirus updates itself several times a day.
Yeah, well,
but all of these things running in the background just accumulate resources.
Yeah, and again, you got to decide. You know, it's how due diligent you're going to do as far as handling stuff.
Right.
Over years, I've set up a discipline that I handle things in a certain way. And, you know, I am very, you know, Virgo in me. I have to have everything very methodical. And I've got a list of things, and I keep things up to date, and I do this checklist, you know, and I'm always updating, as a matter of fact, the things for the Soundbite CD, which we still offer.
Oh, good.
You know, and I mean, you know, I'm trying to keep all this up, and I gotta, because otherwise, you know, if we get infected in our business, you know, that's pretty bad.
Sure.
And I just can't afford to do it.
You try not to interrupt the money.
Yeah.
as much as you can.
You know, it really helps, you know, and, but what can I say? All right, tell you what, we are coming up to the top of the hour. Yes. We've had so much fun, and maybe I can calm down a little bit more, go get some more coffee, relax a little bit. But we're going to take a slight break here at the top of the hour, but we will be back with more news, views, and opinions. And again, we encourage you folks to please give us a call at 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415 on your opinions here at member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And good afternoon, Rochester and the web. You are listening to the Sound Bites on May the 12th, Mother's Day weekend, I should point out. I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And for you gentlemen that have forgotten,
it is officially the last minute.
This is it. Yeah,
no lie there. I mean, dude, you better go out hustling if you haven't gotten something in. You still got the afternoon.
Yeah, you could whittle something.
Yeah, or go out and buy something, you know, get the flowers, tuck those away somewheres or something, you know.
I'm always afraid of buying flowers a day early because I got to hide them somewhere where they won't wilt.
Hmm. That could be troublesome.
Or just give them a day early.
Yeah, you could do that. You're so special, I want to celebrate the day, yeah, the whole weekend as Mother's Day.
Perfect.
Oh, so you shouldn't give...
You could dig it up so deep.
Yeah. What is it? You shouldn't give dead plant genitals. You should give a potted flower.
Yeah, potted plants go over pretty well around my place.
Don't you know that's what a flower is? It's the genitals of the plant.
Moving right along.
Don't you remember pistils and stamens from biology class?
So you cut them off
and hand them to her.
Yeah.
Steve's technically right, and as we all know, that's the best kind of right.
But
potted plant where it doesn't die in a few days is almost better.
But no, I'd like to wish all the mothers out there, you know, a very happy Mother's Day here from Soundbites. I know, you know, sometimes what they do goes unsung, you know, and I mean, anybody that's an idiot that'll sit there and say that a woman that stays home and doesn't work, you know, doesn't work.
No.
Wrong.
I'm here to tell you.
Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, you and your triplets.
Yeah.
That's triplets work.
Even if you got one or two kids. She was old enough to help a little bit, though.
Right?
No, even if you got one or two, that's a lot of work.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my hands go off to you.
We waited almost too long. My stepdaughter was 15 when our son was born.
Right.
She was too old to help.
Yeah.
What is Matt, 13
too
now?
Too cool for the room.
13 now, yeah.
Yeah, like my grandson are the same age.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And the thing of it is, though, that's what really scary.
Well, I can't believe my stepdaughter is almost 30.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
I can't believe my daughter's son. Anyways, though, I got a grandson. Yeah, it's 13. And also, almost 12. So I'm sitting there looking up at him now.
Oh, sure, because he's sprouted?
Oh, yeah. His dad was over 6 foot, and I think Cody's going to definitely be the same way. As a matter of fact, I get to go see one of his soccer games this afternoon.
Nice.
Two of them. Yep. But, yeah, they grow too fast, you know, and that's one thing, though, again, with the web, that has become very popular, and I think that's why also our postal service is hurting the way they are, because nowadays, you know, instead of taking pictures and developing them and taking extra copies and throwing those into an envelope and mailing them off to grandma and grandpa, well, grandma and grandpa now have their own computer, and you can just, email them to them. Burn them to a disc. There goes a CD with thousands of, pictures on it. You can add your own
video. That's one of the reasons Kodak is failing, because people stop buying film and prints, and Kodak didn't shift to digital.
And the web, the people don't take the time to sit down and write a letter anymore. Oh, it's easier to just send an email because it's there. It's instant. You don't have to worry about, how long is it going to take to get to them? And I mean, the Hallmark cards that you can send now over the internet, send somebody a greeting if you, forgot a birthday or something like that. Covers your butt.
I read something the other day. Can't quite believe it or not, but a father was, writing bills, and he put a stamp on the envelope, and his teenage daughter said, "Why are you putting stickers on that?" Those are postage stamps. We have to buy them so the post office will deliver the letter.
Right. Yeah, good thing she didn't see you licking one.
Yeah.
Well, again, that's something.
It stuck.
I mean, yeah, we've just gotten away from the internet. Has taken over so much of our lives, even paying our bills.
One of the members of CIDR is a philatelist, and he's. We should ask him if their hobby has been dying off. If the post office has been printing fewer stamps. And fewer collectible stamps.
Might make the ones that are out there even more valuable. Because, like you say, they just keep, cutting back. What, they're still talking about, they've closed some more branches, but they're also talking about maybe doing away with Saturday service.
Yeah.
Because there's really no need, and they could save probably millions of dollars over the U.S., but it's only begin again because of the internet.
How many people do you put out of a job, and how much tax money do you lose, and how much unemployment goes up? So that's a huge interesting trade-off between saving money by cutting jobs and losing money in other ways.
Well, look, the newspaper, didn't they just go to where now they're charging for their internet?
Several newspapers have been. New York Times was one of the first big ones that put up a paywall. You get like 10 pages a month for free, and then you have to buy a subscription to get the electronic version of the paper.
DNC just added that, correct?
I haven't heard that.
I heard something about that. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah.
What's become
well,
really...
Because I don't read the physical paper anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
I read Nick's column online. And they haven't asked me to pay for that yet. So.
What's become really popular at my house, you're talking about the death of handwritten letters and mailing things around. Multiple times a week, my kids will come up to me and say, can we do a Skype chat with Grandma and Grandpa?
Yeah.
I know. And with relatives that don't live in town that you don't see that often, a Skype chat is fantastic. They get to sit there. And these days, for way less than $100, you can get a high-def camera that lives right on the top of your monitor, so you're sending a high def channel. I mean, it's almost like being in the same room.
If it's not already built into your computer or mobile device.
Absolutely.
Well, and not to be morbid, and I mean, because we were just working with it today, Patriot Guard, with that captain that just had a, you know, died. And he was sitting there talking to his wife on Skype. But that has been a big savior for a lot of servicemen.
Sure.
I know my nephew, who was over, he did three tours. And that was so great that he had Skype that he could sit there and talk to his wife and see his daughter. Because he got to come home the day after she was born, spend a couple weeks, and then bam, he was back off to Afghanistan for another 7 months. But he was able to talk to his daughter, you know, and she'd put a little G up in front of the camera and that and say, oh, see, Daddy. So, you know, she could see at least pictures of them and they could talk. And I think that has reduced a lot of stress for our military because being separated, again, waiting for those letters to come in the mail, they take a while to catch up with you, depending if you're moving around. Whereas Skype and email, you open up your computer. And a lot of service people now have, you know, the tablets or the, you know, the notebooks, and they can Skype with their relatives and loved ones back at home, and it helps reduce that stress and fatigue, you know, that they suffer from. Oh, I'm worrying about this and that, and it just makes them tired because they're worrying so much about it. And so, yeah, there's another aspect of the internet that, you know, on the good side has really helped a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because, you know, they're stationed all over the world. It doesn't matter. And that's one thing, you know, I'm surprised Microsoft didn't cash in on.
Yeah.
Was charging for Skype.
Well, we were afraid of that.
They do. They charge if you use Skype to call an actual telephone.
Yeah.
You pay a rate, and it's very, very popular with people who make a lot of international calls because their international rates are exceptionally competitive. And I think that's where they're driving the most of their revenue. Yeah.
But, you know, just to have that service, though, that kind of...
We still don't know why Microsoft bought Skype.
But you know what? No, just that they kept the other part free.
So no one else would.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and just to keep that one part free that people over a video camera can still chat and even IM if they want.
Yeah.
Because it's instantaneously, you know, there. And like I say, it's doing so much good right now with loved ones staying in touch. Like you say, grandma and grandpa can, you know, quick hook up and see their grandkids because they're on the other side of the country or they could be a couple states away or even another city.
Sure.
You know, and they can't maybe make it. You know, all right, well, we just bring up Skype and you can sit there and talk to them and, you know, and that's just as good.
Yep. And living in the future.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just a great thing.
And I found the article about the DNC. It's a Gannett corporate issue. Okay. All of their community papers are going to start putting up a paywall by the end of the year, except USA Today. And individual communities, so like the DNC locally, they will decide how many page views you get for free before you have to pay. So it's a Gannett corporate decision because the paper, the physical paper subscriptions have been dropping so much.
Right.
So, you know.
Well, there's not much in the paper either. I mean, you get the paper. I look at that Sunday paper now, and it's like, you got to be kidding. I remember delivering it as a paper boy.
Sure.
That thing used to be huge. Yeah, that used to be huge. Of course, there were want ads and everything else in there. And I mean, but nowadays, forget it.
That's how information, you know, was distributed.
Again, you know, you can go look something up on the web. If you're that curious, you can Google anything.
Right.
And find it. And that's sadly the way our society's going.
Yeah, I think people are dropping cable today the way people were dropping newspapers 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, going back to that.
I just tried to read a Democrat and Chronicle article about a wall falling in Mount Morris.
Okay.
It looks like they're already starting to do it. I have 20 free articles left before I have to subscribe to read DNC Online.
Oh, so they give you this countdown.
Yeah.
Death Watch timer. Yeah.
if you do subscribe to the physical paper, then you get the electronic version, apparently, also.
Oh, really? Can I watch the Olympics, too?
Yeah. That was one of the big annoyances about New York Times when they put up their paywall. It's cheaper to get the physical paper and the electronic paper than it is to get just the electronic paper. So a lot of people, the complaints on the net, people have been calling up and say, I want to get the electronic newspaper because I don't want to waste the paper and kill the trees.
Uh-huh.
But you're going to charge me more to not have the paper, physical paper. And so people end up getting the physical paper and just throwing it away because it's cheaper than getting just the electronic.
It's cheaper to do plastic silverware than it is to wash regular silverware, too. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I tell you what, let's go to the phones. We got Tony from Greece. Go ahead, Tony.
Hi, I have a question for you on something that's like 3.5 years old, but it's already an antique. It's a netbook.
Okay.
And I liked it a lot, and I actually used it a little bit for my business in my van. But about a month ago, it became brain dead. And it says, Windows could not start because the following file is missing or corrupt. Windows System 32 Config System.
Okay.
You can attempt to repair this file by starting Windows Setup using the original Setup CD-ROM.
Mm-hmm.
And select R for the first screen.
Right.
I got the two disks that came with this, but of course there's no hard drive on it.
Right. No, 10-to-1-eyed, you'd have to take.
Well, something is corrupt, preventing Windows from running. And the bigger question is, what is corrupt and why did this happen?
Yeah.
But yeah, what it's telling you to do is you have to reinstall Windows.
Yeah, and where you're going to run into the issue there is you need, you're probably going to have to take it to a shop.
Mm-hmm.
And like we can, you know, we've got the capabilities of hooking up a hard drive to our CD-ROM drive up to that.
Do you have an optical CD drive reader?
I had one because this happened right after I got it, and I had to rebuild everything with it, mm-hmm. and it worked at that time, but that drive...
No, it doesn't work, yeah. A lot of the netbooks came with a flash drive for their reinstall.
That's one thing, we've gotten into is we've got the drive so we can hook up to a lot of these netbooks and tablets to be able to reinstall because, like you say, there is no physical drive.
If I bring it to someone like you, would you be able to do it?
Yes, we can.
I have the two CDs that came with it originally.
Yep.
Okay, I might drop it off sometime.
So Apple did that for a couple of versions of the MacBook Air, too. It's a computer with no optical drive, and they give you the restore media on an optical disk.
Right, yeah.
Then
thanks, Apple.
Yeah, in the current models, they give you a flash drive.
Right.
Not
anymore.
In the intermediate models, they give you a flash drive with the OS on it. And now Apple's done what Windows PCs have done for years. The restore media is a hidden partition on your main hard drive, which is fine
until
your hard drive dies.
Right.
And then you have no OS to put it back on with.
But trouble with those.
So you should make it's like what Windows used to have you do.
CD drivers and all that.
Well, you make your recovery disks.
But those are usually flash memory.
Yeah.
And then you're home.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you got to make a recovery disk of your installation file, so in case your main drive fails.
The main thing, though, is backup the important files.
Backup.
Right.
Up,
and especially with a netbook and anything else, right now there's no reason to not go to, you know, especially these netbooks and little tablets, to get Google Drive. It gives you 5 gig of free storage. Back all your documents right up to the cloud using Google Drive. It's free. And that way, if something happens to it, all those photos and everything else that you have saved on that tablet and documents and everything else are protected.
Right. Yeah, I went over to Microsoft's Knowledge Base and based on the description that he had of the error message, I found an article that was all about recovering corrupted registry, and that's a list of things you have to do that's so long that they split it up into phases.
Yeah, well, that's where one thing that I will not do on this show ever is tell folks how to go around mucking around in the registry. Yep. Because
no, you just don't want to.
I don't want to be responsible, because all you have to do is make one false deletion, and your registry is messed up if you haven't backed it up.
Yep. Sometimes with that missing file, you can, if you have another computer with exactly the same version of Windows, you can copy that file from the other computer. And then you get another message that a different file is missing or corrupted.
Yep. Okay, tell you what. That sound tells me we got to take a short break for a moment. But we will be right back. And again, we encourage you folks to pick up the phones. Give us a call at 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Here at member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you soon.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
And now we're back to this version of Soundbites. I'm Dave Enry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And I will interject here for a moment, because we've had a couple folks asking. Nick has family obligations that he had to tend to today, but he will be back yelling and screaming just like he normally would, warning you that it's his usual good morning, Rochester. I don't even try to do that because he is a professional.
We should pull that off and put it in the board.
We just need some drops.
Someone asked me once.
All you got, if you can get it to an MP3 file.
Yep, I'll do it.
Throw it to me, and then I can burn it to a CD, and I can play it right in here.
Yep. Somebody asked me once if Nick reads that from his script, and
he just closes his eyes and rolls right through it.
Yeah,
and it's exactly the same every week.
It's amazing.
He doesn't need no stinking script.
He's a professional. But going back to the comment, you said one listener there.
I got a text from a listener that said that that you were contradicting yourself. We were talking about Windows 8 and their new Metro UI, which is sort of a bunch of tiles on the screen, and how that's very different than the interface that Windows has had all these years.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that that old people need things to be easy, so they may or may not like that new feature. But they also said that you like to make sure that you have all of your updates well-defined so that you know precisely what's happening and when, and that those two statements contradict each other.
Well, no. Well, here's my philosophy. One, we're talking about an operating system versus how I handle things as far as updating and everything else. And again, I guess it's an old geek, you know, technical geek that I am versus an older person that's just set in their ways. I mean, I don't like to take for granted that something's going to happen. And I've been burned. I run a business.
Right.
And I can't. And like I say, this is the Virgo in me. I am very methodical, and I can set that up. And again, that's my choice. Your choice might be totally different.
Right.
And all I can tell you is, you know, do what makes you comfortable for you, just as long as you get things updated.
Yeah.
You're keeping your machine protected. And my one rule of thumb, and I'll stick to it to the day I die, that if you're going into an email, and you look at an email and have to think about opening it even a fraction of a second, delete it.
Don't open it, yeah.
If you, like I say, have to even hesitate, then don't.
Never click on a link you didn't specifically go look for yourself.
And here's the other, well, it came from my friend. Yeah, he could or she could be infected, and they're spamming you. And some of these websites can look so authentic.
And it might not be from them. It is so easy to fake who a message is from.
Oh, you wouldn't believe.
I got two of them this week from customers who obviously aren't sending me spam, mostly because I have a Mac. But their address is being used to send spam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've been hijacked.
I can send out mail as presidentoftheuniverse.com. It's ridiculously awesome. Easy to, yeah.
Yeah.
What were you saying this week at CIDR about ClamAV, where you were doing a scan and you found a bunch of viruses?
Oh, there was a headline. I don't remember if we mentioned it last week. Because of the flash fake update, speaking of updates, The bad guys use fake update notices to trick you into installing bad software.
Right.
There was a fake Flash update a couple of weeks ago for the Mac, because we all know how bad Flash is and how frequent updates come out. So this fake Flash update came out, and it installed malware on your system. And so a lot of people started downloading anti-malware programs like Clam and Sophos. Sophos, which is a British company, put out a headline that 80% of all the Macs they scanned were infected with malware. And then that grabbed all the headline news because it's such an inflammatory headline.
Yeah.
And then like the third or fourth paragraph in, it says, yeah, but it was Windows malware. It can't do anything on the Mac, but it's on your Mac. Oops. Because it probably came in your email from spam that comes through email all the time.
And again, if you got to think even a fraction of a second on whether you should open that particular email, don't.
And you should think before you click links.
Because you don't want, if it's from a bank or a friend or anything else, pick up the phone. Phone numbers are still usually at most people, most businesses all have phone lines that you can go and call and check. Or if you think, say you're getting a warning from PayPal about this or that. You know what? You don't click on the email. You open up your browser. As an example, you go directly into PayPal, sign in with your username, your password, go to the contact us and ask them the question. There, did you send me this or that? If you got a question, you know, it's not that hard. A few clicks and boom, you can go to any particular web page from that one that's sending you the email, go directly to there and ask them. Then that way you know you're getting a notification because you sent it to them.
Especially if you don't have a PayPal account and you're getting an email from PayPal saying there's a problem.
There's Shorty.
Yeah.
Hey, Linda.
One thing I like to do is, especially with my clients, is to change their DNS servers over to a product called OpenDNS. And you can do this for free. It doesn't cost a dime. And I'm not getting a dime for saying this, that's for sure. but you can set them up, and it will intercept these attempts to connect to bad places. They have an idea of who those are, and they'll interrupt that ability. So even if you accidentally click on something that you shouldn't have, and this is good for a lot of people, you can have OpenDNS give you some level of protection against that. They're available at opendns.com, right, not .org. And they give you the instructions to walk through and how to change your settings. They're not spying on you when you do this. They are offering you protection, and it's a very easy thing to do.
And they also offer a couple other interesting services about spam protection and setting limits on who can go to what websites. So it's a pretty neat product.
Yeah.
Well, since useful. Nick isn't here and he can't do the usual intro.
Yeah, put on wake up, put on your footy pajamas and sit around the coffee
get your
table.
Cocoa and
yeah.
Yeah, we could fake it.
I'm going to have to pull that one out, too.
Yeah, really, we should. But this is where I get to, you know, and usually Nick slaps me awake, but I get to vent a little bit. Not that I haven't been already today for a while.
What's the difference?
This has been great. It's been therapeutic. But the one thing I'm talking about, and Steve, I'm sure you run into, both of you guys. You know, we get somebody coming in and say, I'm sorry. I go, excuse me? Well, my machine is reinfected. I took it to this one place, and supposedly they cleaned it, but they messed the machine up.
Okay.
And how much is it going to cost me?
Same as in town.
Yeah, I mean, you know, wait a minute. It's messed up.
Just
because you didn't come to me to begin with. And it got more messed up over there. Now you want me to bring it in here and, hello, give me a discount because I got to undo what that other idiot did instead of just quick cleaning it up and everything else. And I had one. Luckily, the person was smart enough when the guy said, well, yeah, it's infected. We're going to have to wipe your machine. And the person goes, no. So they quick brought it over. Because we were able to back the stuff up and then reinstall, you know, and on this particular one because they wanted stuff protected. But, you know, these folks that'll sit there and go somewhere else.
Wait, because you see all these commercials about free PC scan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And you walk in the door and they say, well, I'm sure there's legitimate companies, but yeah. Most of them are probably a scam. I will give you a free scan of your PC. I'll take it in the back room, come back out and say you're infected. It's going to be hundreds of dollars to fix.
Yeah,
I scanned it.
Yeah. But
like the CAT scan and the lab report.
Yeah.
You got your crystals out and waved them over the machine. And
yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous. You know, your folks, I mean, we stand behind what we do. And I'm sure just like you guys, you know, you'll stand behind it. But when they, you know, again, and I can understand people trying to be, you know, penny wise right nowadays.
Yeah, they want to be frugal.
Yeah, and I get that. But you know what? When you're turning around and trying to save the money and you really don't know if they're going to be there tomorrow because Jimmy just decided to open up a little, shop out the back of his house or in his garage. And you took it to him because, oh, he's the neighborhood computer person, and he messed it all up, and, oh, you got work to do, and you come in, you know, and it's in a panic. Hello? Yeah, I'm willing to help you. No problem with that. You know, be glad to.
Yep.
But you know what? If you're unsure again, go to some place that is reputable.
And if it gets reinfected, you're probably going to have to pay for service again.
Yes, and, you know, that's another thing. You know, I mean, I had a client. Yes.
Yeah, they don't offer guarantees on
the
system
minute you take it, the minute you take it home.
Never turn it on, and we'll guarantee you won't be infected.
No, you can turn it on, just don't hook it up to the internet.
Yeah.
But these folks, it'll sit there and take it home, they hook it up, and then you tell them, well, I took this off, say, like BearShare. And then 3 or 4 days, they bring it back. Sorry, the thing's reinfected. What'd you do wrong? And then I, you know, boot the thing back up, and BearShare's back on it. Well, hello. Yeah.
That's one of my big pet peeves.
Well, my kids put it on. Well, I can't help that. I don't come and babysit your machine.
Especially if it's a business computer, because we get that all the time. That's my computer for business, and it don't let your kids play on your business computer.
I just had another one come in. Again, this is about the fourth time.
Yep.
You know, it might be cheaper for her to go get the kids one of those netbooks or, you know,
a cheap used computer. Even.
Yeah, something that they can play with and not play with your work machine.
This is my only business computer. I can't work when it's down. Well, you might need a backup business computer because this may take a couple days to fix.
Yeah, exactly. And so much for that. I feel so much better.
Well.
We're good.
You've got to vent once in a while.
Yeah.
We get a lot of analogies to like repairing your car. You take your car to the garage, you describe the problem, they give you a price, and you pick it up in a couple hours. Mm-hmm. Because there's pretty much known problems. You know how much it's going to cost to replace a fuel pump. You know how much it's going to cost to do an oil change.
Right.
With computer problems, you have no idea what's happening. It takes you a while to figure out what's going on, what caused it, how to stop it from happening again, and how to fix it.
Well, the one thing I tell them, because they'll call back up and say, well, you said it's going to be ready, you know, it should be ready then. Yeah,
it should be. But
it's still running a scan. How long is the scan going to take? Well, you know what? My crystal ball's in the shop right now, and they won't give me a time on when that's going to come back. So as soon as I get that back, then I could, you know, give you a guesstimate.
Yep.
But until it is, I can't tell you, because you never know. I mean, these hard drives nowadays, a terabyte is standard, and folks, you know, like you say, data will always consume the storage that there is available.
I was doing a SpinRite scan on a hard drive the other day, and the other week, and customer called back after a week and says, "Is it done yet?" And I said, "Well, no, it's at 1.9%. How much longer is it going to take? Well, all right,
about 2 years.
Doing some math, it's 1.9% in a week, so we've got another 50 times. So it's
call us back at the end of the month.
Probably not going to get any data back off of it.
Yeah, it's not so good.
Do you have a backup?
So, Dave, would you like to see in your wildest dreams, if you had the ability to control time and space in the universe, would you like to see computer users become licensed the way you are to drive a car, where you have to take a training course, you have to take a safety course, you have to understand and agree that you know what you're doing, and when you're out on the road or out on the internet, you are expected to behave in a certain way. And when you don't, bad things can happen.
Yeah.
No. A lot of places, the bad things happen. They come to my shop and your shops, and we get to have a business and, you know, provide a income for, you know, two other folks. In my case, you know, there's three of us.
Now, we can teach courses in internet safety, but people... Yeah.
They're still going to do it. I mean, even drivers. I mean, they got a license. That still doesn't stop these idiots that I see in the morning still texting or doing their hair or shaving.
Driving in here, that there was this pack of idiots on crotch rockets that were just being so stupid on the expressway. You almost wish
they're organ donors is what they are. Now they're providing a valuable public service.
You almost wish they have an accident to teach somebody a lesson, but they shooting past you and doing wheelies on the expressway. It's ridiculous.
Well, one time when I was coming back riding on the bike back from Americade, a bunch of crotch rockets go by us. And they're doing the stunts where they're riding, sitting up on the handlebars, riding backwards.
Yeah.
And I'm coming by, and three of them come by, and one guy's changing his seat, throwing his leg around. And they buzzed on by. I backed right on off.
Yeah.
Now, 2 minutes later, a bunch of Blue Knights riders passed us by. And for the folks that don't know who the Blue Knights are, that is the police organization of motorcycle riders. And, maybe about 10 minutes later, we saw them. They had these idiots on crotch rockets pulled over.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, thank you. Because, you know, if they wobble, this is Route 80.
And they're probably doing 80 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. This is a four-lane highway. And, you know, they buzz down there. And if they wipe out because they wobble and boom, 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 they're all over the highway. Because, you know, who knows what else they're going to cause, you know, and they don't think about other people's endangerment. So,
Got a piece of news here we could do.
Tell you what.
Are we coming up on a break?
Yeah, we're coming up on a break.
Well, right after the break, we'll do the news.
Yeah, that works. We can go into another segment, and with that.
So put your hot cocoa mugs in the dishwasher.
Take off the footy pajamas. Yeah.
Put the campfire out.
Yeah, everything else. Too warm for a campfire today, but you know what? We will be back in just a couple minutes right here with member-supported Jazz 90.1 and the longest-running computer show in the known universe, and that, of course, is Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Yeah.
Ladies
and gentlemen, you are listening to Soundbites. I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And tell you what, we got Ernesto calling from Barrington. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Listen, I have an old Asus Linux machine that Asus doesn't support anymore. I tried to upgrade the Firefox, and they said it can't be done. It's a proprietary Linux system. Where can I take this thing so somebody can install some kind of Linux or whatever, and so I can get at least an updated Firefox, so I can get that program, and get this thing going and update it. Asus disowned it, and they don't want to hear about it, and they don't want to support this thing anymore.
So what is it, a desktop or a laptop?
It's a small laptop. It's an 8-gigabyte, it's a small unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to see, is there any way I can salvage this thing? It works, but it just can't be upgraded.
Yeah, your best bet's probably to go to the Linux Users Group of Rochester,
right?
Lugor.org.
I think I tried that, and nobody answered me back.
If you want to go and have somebody...
A loose collection of users group. They've only got their April meeting on their website. So it's check lugor.org and see when they post their May meeting notice, and then probably show up to a meeting.
So that's Lugor?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try it.
Yeah, or, you know, like I say, you can always check our webpage, Soundbites, for like our shops, and I don't know about Steve, could possibly reinstall the operating system for you.
or put a different version of the Linux.
Ubuntu.
Check our Soundbites webpage for links to both Steve and my websites, and you can find out the information from there.
Sure.
Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, thank you, sir.
All right.
It looks like Lugar meets at the Galisano Academic Center at Nazareth College. I think it's the third Thursday of the month, but they don't have their May meeting announcements up yet. Maybe someone from Lugar can.
So it might even be this week if they consistently do it on the third Thursday.
Okay, tell you what, let's go back to the phone. We're on a roll. Let's talk to Victor in Irondequoit. Hello, Victor.
Good afternoon, guys. On my Garmin GPS, I wanted to put down a Toronto map download, and the map is a 26 megabyte download. Now on my Garmin there's only 12.5 megabytes free, so I know I got to get a micro SD card.
Okay.
Now what's the smallest micro SD card I can get for a 26 megabyte download?
Sure. So the SD cards are commonly used in cameras and other things, and there's a much smaller version that's about the size of your pinky nail.
Right.
That's micro, and those come in several different capacities. They're available at all sorts of local retail establishments.
They're relatively cheap too. I mean, you can get
Well, probably one gig is
one
the
gig.
Smallest.
I suspect half a gig or one gig might be the smallest.
Because I got a 32 gig for I think it was $24.
And the price differential between them is probably going to be insignificant. So like a one gig is $20, and the half a gig is $19, and the 256 meg is $18.
How much is that one you just found?
Amazon has a 1 gig micro SD for $8.
Yeah, so
you can also
not
check
like
Staples, any of the local stores around Best Buy, all that. They have too.
That's a problem with the buying stuff online. Speaking as a retail shop owner, buying stuff online, you have to pay shipping costs quite frequently.
Yeah,
and sales tax.
And
sometimes.
If you want it now,
always. Well. You should always pay your sales tax, whether the whether the company collects it for you or not, you're still supposed to pay it yourself.
Right. So a local place is probably your best bet, and just anywhere from the local drug stores to specialty stores will have those, and they're not terribly expensive.
You may also want to check with Garmin the specs on that model to see what capacity cards it can use.
Yeah. That's going to be one of your determining factors. And when you go to order, make sure you're getting micro SD, right. Not regular SD. You want the micro, and they'll show usually a picture. Even if you go to the store and buy it, you will see the little micro SD actual card outside of this bigger. Because if you're going to load stuff up, say, on a computer, you would put this micro SD into this adapter and put it into a regular card slot for the regular SD, load it up. Then you take it out, and then you pull out the little SD micro SD card and put that into the device.
Now, the 26 megabyte that I need to have downloaded, what is the smallest micro SD card that I can use?
Again, you better check the specs.
Yeah, probably a gig is the smallest one you're going to find these days.
Yeah, but you got to check the specs of the Garmin. The Garmin might have its own. We might be saying 1 gig, and they might say, sorry, it only supports 512.
Oh, okay.
Right. Well, most of the searches I'm finding are what's the maximum SD card I can use.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, check with your Garmin first, depending on how old it is.
Yep. Yeah, here's a store selling a 128 meg card for $25, where the 1000 meg card was $8.
Well, I'm going to email Garmin and see what they suggest.
Well, no, you can do a Google search.
Don't bother emailing. The companies never respond to email.
What you can do
go to their website and under support, under specifications for your device.
Yeah, put in that model or you can Google, Garmin, whatever it is, maximum memory or memory. And, it'll take you to the specs of it. Or like Steve says, go to the website. There's a lot of different ways you can find out than trying to email them. It's a weekend, and who knows what they're going to get to once they come back on a Monday.
That's true. All right, guys. Thank you very much. I'm going to look on Google.
There you go. Yep.
Good idea.
Bye. It looks like Garmin is making GPS swimming watches now.
My goodness.
But, I mean, there's just,
And if you get lost while you're swimming, that's pretty rough.
Does it turn into a flotation device?
Yeah.
That would be nice.
Well, that's where, again, even Garmins are becoming...
Ooh, I've got a bike one, too.
Yeah, their bike stuff's pricey.
Something of the past, because now with your smartphones...
Yeah, Garmin's another one of those businesses that's in trouble because most smartphones have GPS built into them now, and you don't need a standalone GPS anymore.
as a guy who rides a lot of bike miles a year, I've always kind of lusted after some of the high-end Garmin stuff because they'll keep track of your heart rate, where you are on the road, your elevation. It'll do the operating temperature the ambient temperature. It'll keep track of how fast you're turning the pedals and then let you graph it all when you get back on your computer. It's amazing.
All right, let's see if we can squeeze in one more caller. We got Dennis from the city. Go ahead, Dennis.
Yep, I'm looking at Apache OpenOffice and LibreOffice, and I want to know which one would you guys recommend, or are they both just as good?
What we're seeing lately is that OpenOffice was the sort of the granddaddy of the OpenOffice suites, open source and free, when it was being developed by Sun. And then when Oracle bought Sun, a lot of people got really upset with how Oracle is handling OpenOffice. And so a bunch of the programmers left and created LibreOffice.
Mm-hmm.
And so that seems to be the most up-to-date and supported version of the OpenOffice suites. They have Mac versions and Windows versions and Linux versions. There's also one called NeoOffice that's been written with a Mac interface to it, so it looks more Mac-like if you're on a Mac machine.
Mm-hmm.
But we're seeing, in fact, Nick has used it quite a bit too, that LibreOffice tends to be a little better supported these days, and a lot of people don't like the fact that Oracle is messing with it after they bought Sun.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're sure. Welcome.
And it's really neat, the stuff they have into it. We've also been finding some open source programs. There's one called OpenProj that can read Microsoft project files.
Interesting.
Because that's been one of the banes we've had on the Mac world for a while, that Microsoft stopped making Microsoft Project quite a few years ago.
People got to have their Gantt charts.
Right. There's a lot of project programs available for the Mac, but Microsoft Project is not one of them. It's the Microsoft Office conundrum, that most people have Microsoft Office because most people had Microsoft Office.
Right.
So that with Microsoft Project and then Microsoft Access, the two big programs, a part of the Windows Office suites that you may need to open on other platforms, we're starting to see programs being able to read those data files now.
Hmm.
And it's always nice to have free software. One of the things,
as long as it's well supported,
that's one of the
things. And OpenOffice is.
Well, OpenOffice is, but Oracle's been kind of screwing with it lately. So that's where LibreOffice has come in.
It's the old game of LeapFrog.
Yeah, and that's one of the nice things about buying a boxed piece of software is that you do have support from that company.
Right.
But we're seeing most of the time now that's forums on their website. There's very few people you can actually call and talk to, but you post a message on a forum, we say a lot of times just Google the error message and you'll find a lot of people that had that error and mm-hmm. the answer to it.
Sometimes.
As well.
Sometimes
I
do that.
Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't give away our secrets. That's how we sound so smart here on the air, is we have Google.
Yeah.
I don't need to remember
we
anything.
We used to have to know things, yeah. Yeah, you could also switch over to Google Docs. That's always a good way to go. I found an article at InfoWorld from not this past February, but the February before, and they go on to say that OpenOffice.org and LibreOffice draw from the same code base, so most of their features are identical for now. And again, this is more than a year old now, so I'm not quite sure how relevant this is. But they say Oracle's commitment to maintaining a desktop Office application suite is unclear. And with many key OpenOffice.org developers having defected to the Document Foundation, it seems likely that LibreOffice will improve more quickly than Oracle's version of the suite.
Like you say, you know,
it's the big, giant, monolithic company that's slow to move versus a couple of guys with writing code that can put out patches a lot quicker.
Yeah. Unlike Microsoft.
Oracle is turning into the Microsoft of other companies, that they're buying up other things. Oracle was really big in back-end databases. Mm-hmm. Almost everything you probably run on the internet has an Oracle database at the back end somewhere.
Yep.
And it's one of those sort of unknown companies.
Yep.
Except that Larry Ellison, the CEO, is kind of an outspoken and gregarious guy.
Well, yeah, when he's not on a sailboat.
Yeah.
The other thing you might want to check into is lucidchart.com that can help you make flow charts and also help you do project organization. It's what you can use instead of something like Visio, and instead of project, you can use something called Viewpoint, which is also available.
Well, this year's blue and mine is... Oh, the colors are
genetics.
Yeah. No, so are they give you different colors on the iPad versus the computer?
Okay, well, I want to thank you all for listening and for all you folks that took the time to call into the show. That kind of wraps up this edition of Soundbites. And again, you know, we'll be here again next Saturday. Nick will be back, so, you know, don't forget, we haven't given up on him. He will be back here yelling and screaming at us and everything else that makes this show so much interesting. And again, for Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and Dennis, I want to thank you gentlemen for being here, and tune us in again next week at Soundbites.